we're supposed to be in the lives of someone else. Is that, and I mm-hmm. thought God say something about, you know, there are vessels made for honor and for dishonor. And I thought, well, who wants to be a vessel of dishonor? And but I just, and then I just felt God was showing me what man would call not anything important or ordinary, what man would call insufficient. God puts great value in it.
That's right.
And so, you know, it just witnessed with me in my spirit that my purpose, what I'm supposed to be about doing is speaking into the lives of my children and speaking into the lives of my grandchildren. And God dropped into me about when Paul's talking to Timothy about, you know, commending him for his faith, which was first in his grandmother Lois and then later in his mother Eunice. It's like, I'm part of a legacy. That is my purpose and my plan. Is just, that's who I am, as a mother and a grandmother, and hopefully to speak into the lives of my great-grandchildren.
Thank you, Marty. You know, we were discussing moms a little bit and on Tuesday at our staff meeting, and one of the things that we shared in there is if you look through the Old Testament, a lot of times the kings that were the good kings of Judah, it connected them to who their mom was. Not necessarily who their dad was. Not that dads aren't very important, but also would always connect to who their mom was. So moms have a very significant part in the destiny. And that basically determined a nation and the direction of nations. So go get them, moms. You know, we discussed a little bit about destiny. And sometimes when you hear the word destiny, for some, it may feel like a pressure. Like, oh, I got to find my destiny. What is it? Like Marty said, I mean, you know, what am I supposed to be? What am I supposed to do? Some, it's like, it's a joy. Some, it could be an exciting thing to even think about. Or some, it can make you feel depressed. Some, like Marty said, you talk to her about her grandkids, it gives energy. Where some, if you talk about destiny, it just sort of stops them in their track. But, you know, does God want his people to be a people of hope? Well, if we look up in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. So if we do not have hope, if there's not something that you have hope for, you're not going to live a life of faith. And is faith important to God? Well, if you go on down in that chapter, it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So really, we could say without hope, it's impossible to please God. God wants us to be a people of hope. And when I say, well, I mean, that's nice to have that Bible verse, but where do we get hope? I mean, there's a lot of things we could put hope in. There's a lot of us in here who have probably experienced disappointment and things we put hope in. There's a verse that Jesus shared, and it's recorded in John chapter 7. It says, whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. There's a point of when we have hope, and I see this as that there's rivers of hope, because hope brings life. Does hope bring you life when you have hope? It brings life. So I believe that part of this living water is believing is there's hope. And Jesus is saying, if you believe in me, if you keep your focus on me, as the Scripture said, which means it's important that we are a Bible people, that we look at the Bible and say what hope, what Jesus is. We believe in him. There's going to be this hope that's going to flow out from within us. Yes, we can get a lot of hope from a lot of things. But there's a consistent hope that God gives us, and it comes from staying connected with Jesus. Last week, well, I shared a little bit about there's a principle. You know, there's actual classes and books written about interpreting the Bible. How can you interpret the Bible properly? Just like a lot of things, how can you understand things? How can you understand mechanics? How can you understand computers? How can you understand, you know, all kinds of different things? There's ways that you can help you understand the Bible. And one of them, one of the principles is called first mention, which basically, if you run into something in the Bible, you think, well, how can I understand this better? Try to find out the very first place it was ever talked about. Well, if we want to find out what the whole purpose of mankind is, It's good that we go back and say, well, what's the first time he was ever mentioned? What's the first place that God ever mentioned mankind? And it's found in Genesis 1:26. It says, and God said, let us make mankind in our image and our likeness. Realizing this referring, our, refers to the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And I think I've shared in here before when I was not saved and I was going to Ohio State University, I thought it was, could have meant celestial beings or something, you know, and that didn't go too far in a philosophy class. But that's what that means. Our. In other words, let mankind, not just looking, because, you know, Holy Spirit isn't in a bodily form. I mean, he came down a dove, but he's not really in a bodily form. But what is the image? What is the reflection? Are you reflecting? He wants us to be in his likeness, that we reflect. When somebody sees us, it's not necessarily we look like God physically, but they can see God in us because of what we live and how we act. That his very nature is inside of us. And so in this, we say, well, God's destiny then, in every aspect of our life, are we reflecting God? Are we reflecting his nature in our marriages? Are we reflecting his nature as parents? Are we reflecting his nature in our families and friendships and our job? Being a grandmother at a school, being an athlete, are we reflecting him? Being a student, are we reflecting his nature? That is part of our destiny. Is whatever we do, there's a sense that we're reflecting his nature. And the reality is we cannot do it without God. We cannot do it by ourselves. The very beginning, if you realize the whole thing that when Satan came and tempted Eve and Adam, the whole issue was the fact that he wanted them to do it by themselves. You don't need God to be like God. You just do it on your own. You just go out there, you know, you could be like God on your own. He's trying to deceive you. He's trying to rob you from the blessing and the fullness of life. Where the very thing that God was trying to do, it all comes out of relationship with him. If we want to reflect his nature, we have to have a relationship with him. You know, and his destiny is not just going to heaven. That's just one minor part of destiny. That's just one day when you leave your body here and you go to heaven. That's just one moment of your destiny. If you remember a verse we read last week, it's in Psalms 139:16. He says that David's talking to God, this prayer, but it really is the Holy Spirit is inspiring this in him. He says, your eyes saw my unformed body, which is true of all of us, all the days ordained for me. Not day. Not one day, but all the days. In other words, every single day of your life, God has a plan for you. God has a destiny for you. And part of that is reflecting his nature. And we cannot do that without being connected to him. You know, how many of you flipped the light switch on today? You turned the light switch on. Well, you know, really, our walking with God, it's sort of like flipping a light switch on. It's just as simple as you made a choice to flip it on or leave it off. Every day, we make a choice to flip our light switch on to God or leave it off. You may think that sounds too simple. It's simple, but it's true. We can walk around all day long in darkness if we want. Or we can flip the light switch on. Some people, they flip the light switch on once a week in their relationship with God. Sunday mornings, whatever time that is, all over the world, that happens. But the rest of the week, in a sense, they leave the switch off. And in that way, they sense they walk in that darkness. They don't walk in the light of God. We have that ability to flip that switch on and off. There's lots of things in our life that come. Lots of people want to flip that switch off in your life. Incidents, situations, temptation. All kinds of stuff come in, want to flip that switch off. But you know who has control over that switch? You do. I do. I decide if that switch is going to go on or off. And you know, and sometimes, as Holly shared, we can get used to living in darkness. It feels comfortable. You know, how many of you were all of a sudden a light came on in your eyes like, ugh, you know? Well, that's sometimes people, you know, we can be like, well, I don't want that light. It's too bright. It's just uncomfortable. I like Let's leave it down low or dim or not at all. But again, the destiny of God comes from his light shining in our life. You know, and it comes in that switch. It's a switch that we could turn on in our relationships or we can leave off. It's a switch that we could turn on in our jobs. You know, I worked like for years before I came on staff at the church. I worked in finances and accounting and all kinds of different areas. And whenever you mess with somebody's money or you do something money, there's all kinds of opportunities to turn a switch on and off, you know. And there's a lot of people. There's a lot of pressure. I mean, I had a president of the corporation. This is a Fortune 500 company. Walk through the accounting office and say, hey, the only thing honesty is going to get you here is fired. And so there was the opportunity to turn that switch off, but we left it on. So I didn't work there very long, but anyways. But you have that choice in your relationships in any time, you know, in a dating relationships, you know, you have that time to turn that light switch on and off. You have control. You know, Jesus told a parable about destiny. And so many times we look at this and we look at it as in different perspectives. But I want to look at this parable from the fact of affecting your destiny. And it was a parable of the sower and the seed. It says people were coming to Jesus from town after town. And he told this parable. And he said a farmer went out to sow his seed. And then he began to talk about the different conditions of the soil, which really were the conditions of people's heart. And if you've ever read this verse, and you know, Jesus said, basically, if you don't understand this parable, you're not going to understand anything about the kingdom of God. That's what he said. So this parable is very important to understand. If we don't understand and grasp this, then we're not going to grasp the whole issue with our relationship with God. And so he talked about four different soils that he dealt with. And he told the parable first, and then he told the interpretation or to explain it. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to share the first verse that he said about it, and then we're going to look at what he said was the explanation of this. So first he said there was soil, and he said the farmer went out, and he scattered his seed, and some fell along the path, and it was trampled on, and the birds ate it up. He said, this is what this means. Those along the path are the ones who hear, and then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. You know, God is constantly throwing out seed to us. If we're willing, he is farming all the time. Every single day, he is willing to scatter seed, and that seed of hope, seed of faith, seed of destiny, seed of courage, that's just who he is. He's scattering that. But on that path, there's no room. A path, if we have a path, you know, we have a path here down to these aisles. There's no room. And so we can say there's no room for God's word. There's no room here. You know what? This used to be a really good place to plant soil. But I'm so comfortable walking down this path. You know, every path was bare ground at one time. Somebody started walking, and you get comfortable. You start walking down that path, and you get comfortable, and you think, I don't want to change. I don't want it to be good soil. I like my path. I'm comfortable. I'm familiar with it. I want to stick with my path. And so how do we change that? Is it possible any one of these soils can be changed? Any one of them can change. You can change your heart. And we can say there's one of two things can happen here. One is that we can pick up that seed and put it on good soil. Say, God, I want this to be good soil. Another thing is we can make that path into good soil. We can plow that path back up where it's been prodded down, you know, it gets hard. And you think, well, that only happens to people who are unsaved. No, that happens to every single Christian alive. Every one of us in here can fall right into that same thing where we get so comfortable with things the way they are, the way they used to be, that, God, I don't want any more hope. I don't want any more change. I like my path. I'm going to stay here, and anything you give me from now on is just going to be eaten up because I'm not going to receive it, because I'm not changing. That is a path we all have to be careful of, and it's something we could choose every day. We could choose to walk and make that, but there's hope that God can help us not have that relationship with him. The next thing he said, some fell on rocky ground, and when it came up, the plants withered because they had no moisture. And those on the rocky ground are the ones who receive the word with joy when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. I'm sure there's all kinds of things in our life that you might have hope for that you gave up on, that you said, oh, forget it. You know, some of it may have been that it really wasn't God's will. You know, the thing is, if you read about farming and read about gardening, it's not impossible to grow stuff on rocky ground. You just got to work harder to make it happen. And you know, and those who farm stuff, if you go by a field, farmers for years, there's a field, if we go down on Marion Edison Road, there's a field out there, and they've been farming it for years. But you can go out there right after they plow, and you can see all the rocks out there. It doesn't stop them from farming. You know, they go out, they may clean some of them off. You know, it's a life process. You know, and one of those things as Christians, God has his destiny for us, and there's going to be, depends on what those hopes, what that destiny is, what was the original condition of the ground. And some of us may have to work a little bit harder to get that condition right because of the things you've been through. You know, I've not been through a lot of stuff what some of you have been through, and you know, there's different situations, life, experiences, circumstances. But no matter what you've been through, you're not impossible for God. It's not impossible for him to build, to bear great fruit. In fact, if you read, they said that for some of these articles, with gardening especially, that some of the fruit that's grown out of that rocky soil is some of the best fruit and some of the strongest fruit. And so there's things we can do to help make that rocky ground. You know, and the issue is, again, you could have started off very healthy soil. But things in life start throwing rocks. You know, people, you know, one of the things, if you read, and it was just something that they used to do in warfare back a long time ago, is they would go in, take over a nation, and they would throw rocks into all of the plant of the fields and stuff to destroy the possibility of survival for the people back then. You know, every day, there's people probably, and things in life would like to throw a rock into your garden. Disappointment, encouragement, that's not going to happen. Life, maybe some sickness or lost your job. There's all kinds of things hurling rocks into our garden. But God can help them out. You know, the one thing we talked about being here together, that's the one thing, is that it's not just myself. I'm glad that God put people around me that can help take the rocks out of my garden. And sometimes I don't even see them. I said, that's not a rock. Yeah. That is a rock. And so God gives us one another. That's why it's so important to be around God's people, to be around people who are for you, to help with those rocks and to take them out, so that those seeds, when God is throwing out hope and throwing out destiny and trying to bring purpose in your life, that we don't immediately reject it because the ground's too rocky. That we help allow that. We begin. You know, one of the things that I thought was interesting that they said, that a lot of people that has rocky soil, what they do is they plant raised gardens. You know, sometimes we just need to have a raised garden. We're up above that, and we're connected to God in a new way, in a fresh way. Another way that Jesus said that this hope and destiny, because really when God's word comes to our heart, it brings hope. It brings courage. If you remember when Joshua's a book in the Old Testament, if you're not familiar with it, and he told him in Joshua chapter 1, he said, Joshua, I want you to take this, go in there and take over all this nation where Israel was going in and where is the current Israel. And he said, I want you to go in, I want you to start taking the promised land. But he said, now Joshua could have looked at all the hurdles he had to go through. I mean, it was a massive, these people have been around forever. They had huge fortresses, and they've been fighting, and they had all kinds of armament and military strategies. And he says, you're going to go in there. But how did he tell them to take it over? He didn't say go in and figure out how to get past everybody and come up with your own strategy. He says, this is the way you do it. He says, first of all, he says, be strong and courageous. But he says, the way you're going to be strong and courageous is you meditate on me and my word. He says, if you keep your eyes on me and what I say to you, you're going to have victory. But if you start taking your eyes off me and start taking your eyes on what, this is going to be tough. It's going to be hard. And so part of that is having that sense that God wants to give us good seed. All the seed he gives us is good. So the next thing he talks about, he says, the other seed fell among thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, pleasures, and they do not mature. Now, you know, it's interesting. We would all agree that the negative part of worries. So, yeah, we should have worries in our life. But most of us would agree that the world basically says if you have riches and pleasures, you're really fulfilling your destiny. I mean, you are successful, and that's great. You know, God does not condemn riches and pleasures as long as riches and pleasures does not get in the way of you reflecting him. God created us. Jesus said, I came that you may have life to the fullest. So he wants us, as long as these things don't get in the way of him. And again, this is something that all of our life, God wants to give us hope and destiny. He said, God, oh, that sounds, that's great, but I really don't have time for your purpose and destiny. I got my own purpose and destiny. I mean, I'm over here, I got riches and pleasures, and I got my own life, and I'm enjoying, and it's great, and there's nothing wrong. God wants us to have abundant life, but the true abundant life is found in relationship with him and reflecting him. Again, it all comes back. Are we reflecting his likeness and what we're doing? And the last one that Jesus said, he says, still other seed fell on good soil. It came up and yielded a crop 100 times more than was sown. When he said this, he called out, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Jesus said, but the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. The word here for a noble and good heart, he said, well, what does it mean to have a noble and good heart? I mean, how can you have a noble and good heart? What is that? Really, that word basically means that you have an honest heart, that you're honest about the truth, that you have a right attitude toward God. You know, an honest heart does not mean you sit around and condemn yourself. Well, I'm just a lowly worm. I'm just nothing. Honest heart says, God, I might have messed up or I'm missing it, but Jesus, through Jesus, I can have restoration. Jesus came to redeem us, to redeem every moment. You know, and that wasn't 2,000 years ago. That's right now today. Wherever you are, he can redeem you. Remember, God had a story for your life. And all through that story, you know what the main message is redemption. No matter what has happened in your life, no matter where you're at right now, there's a redemption story that's constantly there, that Jesus is constantly reaching out to bring redemption to you. To bring redemption means that you're restored back to what you're supposed to be doing. That you're restored back into your destiny, the very essence of God, of what he has for you. So how do we get a right attitude toward God? How do we get to just this place of redemption? If we could have the musicians come back up, please. Well, you know, first of all, as we said at the very beginning, it's faith. Faith in that God is who he said he is, and he does what he said he would do. You know, and some of us, that may be easier than others because we may not have experienced that goodness of God. Or there was things in our life that's happened that's caused disappointment that we think, I don't know. I mean, I look at these things that's happened to me, God. All I just say is God is good, and no matter what has happened to us, it does not change God's nature. He is good, he is love, and he's for us. From the very beginning, God's purpose was to restore and bring redemption so that we can fulfill the verse in Genesis 1:26, is that you can reflect his likeness no matter where you're at in life. There's a verse in 1 John 3, it says, dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. He says, all who have this hope in them, in him, purifies themselves just as he is pure. In other words, if we keep our focus at Jesus, I want to be like you. Jesus, I want, my hope is that no matter what's going on in my life, that I want to reflect you. I want to be the best student, the best employee, the best husband, the best father. I want to be the best athlete. I want to be that, not just to be it for recognition, but Jesus, I want to do that because I want to reflect you. That doesn't mean I'll be number one. That doesn't mean I'll get the varsity seat or number one in my class. That doesn't mean, but what it means is no matter what I do, I'm reflecting you. I'm reflecting who you are. If we could go ahead and stand, please. So we go back and ask the original question that God asked, like we said last week, which is, where are you? Where are you with the whole purpose of God? If we could have our personal ministry team come up here. Where are you in your destiny, in relationship with God? Maybe you have no relationship with God. You've heard about him, and you think, well, you know, I've been really distant from God. You know what? God is never distant from you. That's our choice. God is always willing, like that, to come and be with us. I think it was, what is I can't remember which, is it Nationwide or whatever, State Farm, one of those, I think it's State Farm, one of those insurance companies where they just say their name, you know. Well, God, right now, is right with you any moment you call upon him. He says, if you call upon him, he is there right now to be able to help us. So where are you in your destiny and purpose? If you don't know, these ones up here, I just welcome you to come and let them pray with you. You know, if you try to figure it all out before you do that, you probably never come because you're never going to figure it out. It's a matter of faith and trust that God provided a way for you. Another question is, do you have hope? Do you have hope? You say, are you struggling with having hope at all? God made us to be a part of one another. Remember we gave out encouragement cards today? Part of that is that we can encourage one another to have hope. Come and let these ones pray with you or talk to somebody around you. Let them pray with you. Let God prepare that and give you the hope he has. And last one is, what's the condition of your soil? Maybe you've allowed your soil to be just become a path to get trodden on, and you're not even wanting anything from God. You're not even allowing any of his word to come in. Just today, just say, God, I want to change my soil. He can do that. He's the creator. He can change that. If we give him our heart, he can work a miracle and change our hearts. Say, God, I have rocky soil. I've had all these things that's happened to me, my past, my hurt, pains, relationships. He can heal that. He can take those rocks and he can begin to remove them, so that you can have a fertile soil, so you can begin to walk in your destiny. Or maybe things are just choked around and you just need to say, I need a singleness of heart. I need to focus on you, God. One of those for you, just welcome you to come and pray with one of these ones, but we're also going to pray together. So let's just look to the Lord and we're going to welcome the Holy Spirit. You know, it's not our determination or our will, but when we take our will and say, God, I want you, he gave of the Holy Spirit to help us. And so, Holy Spirit, we just welcome you this day. That first of all, you would help us to know, we would have that honest heart of knowing where we are, God. Well, we don't have to be ashamed of where we are, because you know it right now. We don't have to run from you and hide from you because of where we are, because you know exactly where we are right now, and you loved us. You said that you loved us, and while we were even yet sinners, that Christ came and died for us. So this day, Lord, we welcome for an understanding of where we are and a turning of hearts, God, towards you. And Lord, for ones who said they're just struggling with even being having hope at all because of life and things that they've been through, we welcome you, Holy Spirit, to sow seeds of hope into hearts this day. We welcome you, Holy Spirit, to water that seed and to bring life to that seed and nourishment to that seed of hope, God. And help us, Lord, even as Joshua, give us the spirit of Joshua, Lord, that
even as all these things that seem insurmountable, God, and things that come in our life, that we could keep our focus on you, Lord, and our faith in you. And Lord, help us to know the condition of the soil of our heart, God. We thank you, Lord, that you are a great farmer, God. Lord, you know exactly what to do with every kind of soil here today, Lord. And we ask you, Holy Spirit, to help us all to have good soil. That when you sow those seeds of destiny and you speak to our hearts, God, and you guide us and lead us in the truth, that we can receive it, Lord, and it can hit in that good ground, Lord. And we can produce a crop for you, for your glory and your honor.